There are five powerful revolutionary implications of this doctrine. A doctrine that was originally emphasized through the Baal Shem Tov, but really explained through the Alter Rebbe. The first powerful implication is the unity of Hashem. The world, the universe, did not compromise Hashem being the exclusive reality. Just as he was before creation, he's post-creation. Just like the character in the novel doesn't make the author any less lonely. The second powerful implication is, if I want to be in touch with myself, I have to be in touch with my godliness, with my spirituality. Being connected to the essence of the world, to the essence of your own identity, to the essence of another human being, means discovering the godliness within them. The fact that, what are they? Hashem just saying, telling a story. The third powerful implication is somebody who takes this seriously. There's no room for real depression in his life. Real depression or real worry or real melancholy. You do what you have to do. On the natural circumstances, but that's it. Just let God tell his story. Just let him say his story. If you're stuck in traffic or your airplane is delayed, let him do his story. Enjoy it. Sit back, relax, take it in. Tune into that element. Don't create your own story. There's no need for it. So it removes real, such a yid can't be depressed. He can't be really depressed. The fourth element, the fourth powerful implication is relationships. Relationships are in a different way. I mean, now when you look at another person, you can respect another individual in a different way. It also removes the ego somewhat. You can't take your ego anymore too seriously. If you lied, you have no problem going over to another person and saying, you know, I lied. Because once you define your identity as the godliness of your identity, not anymore being right or being superior, so the need to justify yourself in terms of ego is removed. Your identity has another definition. It's spirituality, it's authentic, it's godly. No, the story has millions of chapters. The story has millions of chapters and characters and so on and so forth. Obviously not. But when you look at another person, you can really respect another human being. You can bond, you can become one with another human being. Identity is not anymore defined as my ego versus your ego. Finally, the fifth element is renewal. At every moment, you can renew yourself. There's no such a thing, but I'm always used to doing it this way, or this is my habit, or it's deeply ingrained, or my past was this. The story is being told at every moment, and therefore tune into what's happening, and renewal is chatros at every moment. They have a lot of twists. Novels have very heavy twists. Number four is, if I define my identity as one usually defines their identity, so then cultivate a real relationship and a deep relationship and a selfless relationship is very difficult. It's very difficult. It takes a lot of humbleness. The ego plays a major role in preventing people from having the ability to really melt away with each other, to really connect with each other. When one discovers his inner identity, that he has no identity save the stroke of the pen of the author of existence, so he can much easier melt away with another in oneness with another human being. The ego, the I have to have it my way. I have to be right. I can't say the truth. And so on and so forth. There's no need for it. That's not who you are. Stop treating yourself in such an inferior way. There's many other, but these are, I think, five basic elements that revolutionize one's life. Now, if the Alter Rebbe would stop here, you would have Your question would be a good question, but he goes on. He says, "Ukeloi mamish chashivi." And the entire existence is counted as though it doesn't exist. V'ayin ve'efes mamish, as naught and nothingness indeed, ki bitul oir v'ziv hashemesh beguf hashemesh atzma. Just as the light and the brightness of the sun are nullified within the body of the sun itself. You're supposed to figure this out on your own. The Alter Rebbe used another, you already employed this in chapter 33. We discussed this more at length. The point, very brief, being light exists. We all distinguish between a luminous body, the sun, and its luminescent expression, the light of the sun. We perceive the sun and we perceive the light that extends from it. Does this mean that the existence we call light begins outside of the sun? The Alter Rebbe believes no. The sun itself is not dark. The luminescence that extends from the sun certainly pervades the sun as well. Yet when it's in the sun, the Alter Rebbe is saying, it can be said to be nullified. Not because it doesn't exist, but because while in the sun, it lacks the context that defines its existence. What is the context that defines the existence of light? Light, by definition, needs to have a source and a destination. Light, by definition, needs an emitter and an observer. Light is the expression of the sun. The definition of light is that it communicates the sun. It has an emitter where it's coming from. Light communicates the source to another space where the source is not. So the context that defines the existence of light is it being outside of its source. It's communicating its source to a space outside of the source. In the presence of the source, it's meaningless, it's superfluous. So this is what Alter Rebbe is now adding. You can view the world, for example, like the luminescence of the sun when it left the body of the sun. Now that light is obviously dependent every moment on the emitter, on the luminescent body. It has no independent identity save the fact that the sun is shining. The whole concept of light is an expression of the sun. Another example perhaps would be a mirror. Right, nobody's going to ask a question, "Hey, I just saw you in the mirror. What happened?" Even when you leave, the image is still there, be there in the mirror. It was just there a moment ago, and what's the answer? The answer is what was in the mirror was your reflection. There were no two entities. You exist, and there's another existence, a copy of you in a mirror. The mirror is your reflection. It has no identity outside of the fact that you're being expressed through the mirror. And therefore, when you're gone, so your expression is gone. Right? So on one level, one can say the same here. The world is an embodiment and an expression of the word of Hashem, like the image reflected in the mirror, or like the light that comes out of the sun. But Alter Rebbe says, no, it's much more than that. Because by the sun, we can distinguish. We can say the sun is not all-pervading. There's a space where the sun is not there, and the light leaves the body of the sun. The luminescent expression leaves its source. But in this case, the characters of the story never left the word that brings them into being. The character never left the story, never left the confinements of the word. And therefore, its only true identity is the Dvar Hashem, the utterance of Hashem. And the Alter Rebbe adds, "Val yoytzi yadam atzmei mehaklal." He's talking about the Chachim who sees all this, who sees as though the world is being born at every moment. So he says, "Val yoytzi." It's not only he sees it in the world. "Val yoytzi yadam atzmei mehaklal." And a man should not remove himself from this principle. Shagam gufoi v'nafshoi v'ruchoi v'nishmasoi p'teilim b'metzias b'dvar Hashem. that also his body and his soul and his spirit and his consciousness are utterly nullified in the word of Hashem that creates them and animates them. And this is more difficult. It's easy to say about the whole world that they're, it's all nullified. But me, I have an ego. There was they tell the story, there was a Jew who owed his friend 10,000 ruble in Russia. His friend came to demand the money. He said, I don't understand, you're a chassid. You didn't learn Tanya chapter 43? Do the $10,000 really exist? 10,000 ruble? I mean, do I owe you anything? Is there an I? They came to the Rav of the city. It was the Rav of Chernigov. The Reb David Svi Chain was his name. Radat Chain. He was a chassid of the Tzemach Tzedek. And he told him what this man is saying. So he summoned him. And he says, listen, I have an idea. He says, Lomir Nemen Dem Garnished. Let's take this nothing. And place him on a nothing. And give him a few nothings. And everything will be back to nothing. You know, so the Alter Rebbe is, Al Yotzi Yadam Atzmei Mehaklal. Don't remove yourself from the picture. My body and my ego and my soul and my consciousness and my breath and my imagination and my needs and my ambitions are also a story of Hashem being told at this moment. It's also nothing save the fact that Hashem is saying a story. It has no identity outside of the divinity that's inspiring it, that's animating it, that's sustaining it. The divine words, the divine breath that's constantly granting it its entire existence. Something from nothing. And again, this principle was discussed first at chapter 20. We discussed it more at length. But the Alter Rebbe here adds, don't remove yourself from the picture. I saw a fabulous story. And the Alter Rebbe had two very close friends, the Rebbe Reb Zusha of Anapoli, who wrote an approbation to the Tanya, and his brother, the Rebbe Reb Elimelech of Lezhensk, who became one of the greatest Hasidic masters in Poland. For years, they would travel from city to city in a process known as Golos, exile. They wouldn't sleep in one town more than one night. Their identity was unknown. They did it in order to refine their characters, like many Jews did it in that generation, and also to help their deprived, poverty-stricken brethren. They once came to from time to time, they would go return to their Rebbe, the Maggid of Mizrich. And once they begged, they beseeched the Maggid that they should have the merit to encounter one of the 36 concealed tzaddikim that exists in every generation. The Maggid refused. But once they really begged him, and he agreed. He says, okay. A few months later, they got stuck in they arrived in a very small town right before Shabbos. They weren't expecting to be there with mamash, like an hour before the candle lighting. They start looking for a Jew. They need somewhere to stay for Shabbos. They find one Jewish home there. They knock on the door, and the Jew opens the door. He seemed to be very coarse, very unrefined human being. His facial expressions, his mannerisms, his behavior seemed very unbefitting to a mensch, certainly a refined human being, and so forth. They asked him, can we stay over for Shabbos? He said, no, I don't have a home for guests. Out. So they begged him. They said, please, it's right before Shabbos. He said, no, come in with one condition. Over here in this home, we do everything very fast. I don't want any rabbanish shtick. That was his expression. I don't want any shtick of rabbis. You have to follow my behavioral patterns throughout the entire Shabbos. My customs, my traditions. That's, if you want to stay with me, that's the rule. They really did not have a choice. They acquiesced and they agreed. Fine. They accepted upon themselves these conditions. It was already candle lighting. Candle lighting time came. He lit two candles. And immediately he started to run from one corner of the home to another corner of the home, doing the Kabbalah Shabbos and Ma'ariv. Within 10-15 minutes he was done, and he was screaming at them, new, finish already. And they were forced to really do the fastest Kabbalah Shabbos they ever did in their life. And he was already sitting. He did a fast Kiddush. And they began eating. He says, listen, at this table, no words of wisdom, no melodies, no rabbonish shtick. You eat and you go to bed. After 25 minutes, the meal was finished. He benched and he sent them to sleep. In the morning, the same story repeated itself. There was no shul, no minyan. He davened in very swift fashion, and he kept on rushing them a whole time. They finished eating. He didn't allow any melodies, and he said, okay, time for a Shabbos nap. And these two brothers had the most miserable Shabbos they ever experienced during their entire life. It came the time of Suda Shlishis, the third meal. They decided enough is enough. Now they're already leaving the house in a little while. They can't tolerate to sit during the Shalosh Shudas and not say Epis of Art, an idea of Torah. They couldn't tolerate it anymore. But they were intimidated. They were overwhelmed by his dominance and his control and his presence and so on and so forth. They didn't see him most of the day, most of the night. They thought he's sleeping. They arrived to this town. It was Erev Shabbos, Parshas Re'eh. It was Parshas Re'eh. So they started to tell each other Torah that they heard from the Maggid on the first pasuk of the parsha, Re'ei Anoichi Noisin Lefneichem Hayoyim Brachu Klala, which literally means, see, I present to you today a blessing and a curse. And he ran over to the table and he said, I made a condition with you. No Rabbanu Shishtik, no Torah. And besides, what don't you understand? Re'ei Anoichi means, Zost Kukin Avzich. Stop looking at other people in your life. Start looking at yourself. And he was gone. And they always said that they understood this was the tzaddik the Maggid was referring to. Because that transformed their perception. Re'ei Anoichi. Heibon Kukin Avzich. Stop looking at other people. Start looking at yourself. So the Alter Rebbe is saying, Al Yoytzi Yadam Atzmei Mehaklal, don't take yourself out of this equation. I am also that way. I have no identity outside of the divine energy creating me. Now let's just complete here a few lines. Of course. A person can define himself in other terms totally. I mean, isn't that the story of this world? This is counterintuitive. Depends what? Hakol b'dei shamayim chutz miyir shamayim. Many elements are written by Hashem. Elements of morality and yir shamayim, yeah, are written by Him. And Alter Rebbe adds, so Alter Rebbe is saying, his body and his soul and spirit and consciousness are also nullified in the word of Hashem. And he adds, v'dibura yizbarich miyuchad b'machshavtoi chuli. And Hashem's word is united with Hashem's thought, etc. Ukenisker leil perik chav chafal of bariches, as has been explained above at length in chapter 20 and 21. Although in chapter 20 he says that he's going to explain it in brief, but relative to the line in chapter 43, chapter 20 and 21 are considered bariches. And we explained it there, b'derech mashal minefesh ha'adam, by analogy of the human soul. Shedibur echad midiburo yomachshavtoi keloi mamish chuli. That one utterance of man's speech and thought can be defined as though it was nothing and naught, etc., in the presence of the deeper elements of man's identity. Here the Alter Rebbe adds a whole other dimension. First step, the Alter Rebbe said, is the characters created are totally nullified and have no identity save the identity of the energy of Hashem that creates them. The Alter Rebbe added that this is like the sun when it's in, this is like the light of the sun when it's in the very sun. And now the Alter Rebbe adds a deeper dimension. The Alter Rebbe says here, and adds really a third level that one has to understand. Man has no identity save of the fact that Hashem's word is bringing him into being. The definition of man's identity is Hashem saying a story, or the author of existence writing a story, and so forth. So you don't have a presence outside of the story. But as an embodiment of the story, you have a presence and you have an identity. You're a character in the story. You make up the story. Even the sun. You can say that light has no significance when it's in the presence of the sun. The whole idea of the sun is that it produces light. That's what its function is. That's what its purpose is. True, in its presence, the light is not felt. It's not conspicuous. It's not meaningful. But you can't say it plays no role. The whole concept is insignificant. It's very significant. That's why the sun was created. It has significance. Inside it doesn't have significance, but relative to the sun, it does have some level of significance. Here the Alter Rebbe adds another dimension. He gave in chapter 20 and 21 a very interesting metaphor of a person. One word of yours, in the presence of your limitless capacity for speech, cannot be considered naught. It's a word, but it's insignificant. One word in the presence of your capacity for thought, even more insignificant. And then he added, and he says it here all in a v'chulu and an etc. Compare one word in the presence of the deepest intimate emotions of a human being. In that realm, the word has no name, it has no identity, it has no presence, it plays no role, it's not an event. I mean, you ever saw a person, again, this is not an exact example, but you ever saw, you know, ask a person, your closest friend, how are you feeling now? The person will tell you, I'm feeling very deep pain. I've had a major loss in my life. The person begins crying and says, you know, I'm feeling L-O-S-S. P-A-I-N. You'll ask a person in the positive and a happy note, you know, what are you feeling? Say, I'm feeling profound love towards you. Plus, I'm also feeling L-O-V-E. In the presence of an intimate emotion, the word that will articulate it doesn't add anything. The word is there in order to articulate it to an outside person. In the intimacy of your emotion, the word might exist potentially. The potential to be articulated in a form exists, but it really, it's not an event there. You're not going to say, I'm feeling two things. I'm feeling pain and I'm feeling the spelling of the word pain or the spelling of the word loss. The word loses itself. But here is the big difference. By a person, once you utter the word, it's gone from you, and the word has a lot of significance. In fact, the word can destroy a world or build a world. And you can't take back a word, as we know. It leaves you and it has a life of its own. So this is only true when the word is still in you. When the breath is, so to speak, still in you. You can also give an example from a person's breath. Person's breath has valid existence, right? When the breath is in you, as part of your soul, as part of your whole consciousness, this one breath has no identity. It's not an event. But once the breath leaves you, or the word leaves you, it has an identity. By Hashem, les asar ponimine, there's no space devoid of his essence. So the word that creates the character never left him. So the same value that one word has, when it's still in the presence of your intimate self, the entire world, and even the word that creates it, has continuously.
Hashem says, my word does not come back empty.
So the word creates a world, but in the presence of Hashem's intimate self, that's not an event. Nothing happened. It didn't add, it didn't reduce. It didn't affect any change whatsoever. So the Alter Rebbe concludes, V'zeu Shaymer HaKasuv. Now we come to what you said before, and this is what the Pasuk says in Iyov, in the culminating verse of that chapter 28 of Iyov, Hein Yiras Hashem Hi Chachma. Iyov says, HaChachma Meyayin Timotzei, where are you going to discover Chachma? And Alter Rebbe said it means, Chachma comes from nothingness. Chachma is the ability to appreciate nothingness, to experience nothingness. Thus, Iyov concludes, Hein Yiras Hashem Chachma. Behold the fear of Hashem, that's Chachma, that's wisdom. And what does the Alter Rebbe mean with this? The Alter Rebbe grants us a whole deeper interpretation in that chapter in Iyov. What the Alter Rebbe means there is, there are two types of Yiras. There's two types of fear of Hashem. There's viewing the world from outside in, and there's viewing the world from inside out. Viewing the world from outside in means you look at a world. The world exists. That's a given. And you view its awesomeness, and its grandeur, and its magnitude, and its splendor, and its infinite majesty, and you appreciate somewhat of the grandeur of the one who fills all these worlds, of the Morid HaHayalma, and you're humbled. But here, you appreciate it only the Chitzoinius. What does it mean, the Chitzoinius? That aspect of Hashem as He fills the worlds. That element of Hashem as He is a source. That grandeur of His that is expressed via the existence of the worlds. And therefore, I still have a place there. Because that grandeur is made up of the fact that He creates many eyes. And that He fills many eyes. I still have a place there. I'm humbled. I'm reduced. But it's Yirat HaTa. It's a much lower level of fear. It's a much lower level of awe. You're experiencing a grandeur that justifies my existence. That's made up of my existence. And of the existence of the cosmos and of many billions of people like myself and so forth. But then there's a person who views the world inside out. What does it mean to view the world inside out? That's also true. To view the world inside out means Chachma. Harayas Hanoilat. To appreciate the essence of reality. Not to look at the world and say, oh, and what's in this world, but to go the other way. To appreciate the essence of the Creator as much as a human being can appreciate it. To see the process of the birth of the world. To reflect on the birth. When you begin reflecting on the birth, you understand a new element. You understand that there is an identity, there is a reality in which Hashem is the exclusive existence and everything else is literally nullified. Not because it doesn't exist or because the world is an illusion. Alter Rebbe never says the world is an illusion. But because in the presence of Hashem's intimate self, the one word that produces the entire universe has no identity. It has no name. It's totally lost. It's not a reality to be reckoned with. If you appreciate that, it's not a reality to be reckoned with. Over here you understand pnimis halakos, the intimacy of godliness. In Yirei Hata, man observes the world.
Like expression of godliness.
an expression of godliness that the world tells. And what does the world say? The Alter Rebbe put it before. The world says, I exist. What element of godliness allows the world to declare itself as something existent? Hashem has to conceal himself. Hashem has to conceal his identity. So they should allow themselves to feel as a yesh. That's what he has to do. So what are you experiencing of him? You're experiencing as he limits himself and compresses himself and hides himself in the garments, which allows the world to view itself as a world and as a grander, what's the word, as a majestic identity, as a yesh. So what type of yira does it produce? It humbles you. It certainly humbles you, but it doesn't nullify. Then there is a zoh chachma royas anod. You have chachma. Chachma is you begin experiencing the nullification of the worlds. Because you go back to pnimiyus elikus, to the intimacy of Hashem. So first of all, you experience the nullification of the world in the word of Hashem. And that itself is as though the light of the sun when it's still in the sun. And the word itself and the sun itself is totally melted away in the intimacy of Hashem. He doesn't experience now the grandeur of Hashem as we experience it via yesh, via something. He goes to the ayin, he goes to the nothingness. He can appreciate that, he can appreciate the source, the essence, the intimate essence. He doesn't view godliness via the somethingness of the world. He goes into the nothingness, the chachma, the nothingness of the world. Thus he can experience the pnimius elikos, and over there he finds no room for himself. This produces yirei la, yirei boishas. He melts away totally. He becomes disgusted with himself. My eye has no presence. A Jew experiences this. I'm looking for a hole to hide. My identity has no room, no presence. Where can I be? This is Yiri Lo. You melt away totally. The Teldus Yaakov Yosef brings, he heard one from the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef of Pulna. The Gemara says in Brachas Yitzayin Amad Aleph, Margala Bepume Da Abaya. Abaya used to say, La Oilam Ye Yadam Arum Beira. What does that mean? So Rashi says a person should always be cunning in Yira. You should contrive schemes to fool Yetzahara to have Yiras Hashem. The Ben Yehoyada writes, tell Yetzahara in the morning you're going out to the garden and really go to the Beis Medrash. I don't know if that works today anymore. But for the Ben Yehoyada, that was a sophisticated scheme to deceive Yetzahara. The Baal Shem Tov says, La'olam Yehoyadim Arum B'Yira, a person should be naked in Yira. Don't experience Yiras Hashem based on his garments. Experience Hashem in his exposure. There is Yira through his garments, which means through the world. And over there he's dressed, he's veiled, he's cloaked. You don't see his intimacy. If you would see his intimacy, we wouldn't feel ourselves. La'olam ye'adam arum b'yira. You have to expose Hashem's identity, appreciate that. When he's exposed in his intimacy, the word that creates the universe has no presence. It's totally nullified. So where do I come in to be? My being is totally reduced to nothingness. And this is a whole other level of yir. This is called yiri law. Now this, you asked before, Dr. Rebbe is talking about Yehuda Tata. No, that's why he adds. The lower level of unity is that we are a story, but we're characters in a story. The higher level of unity is we're not even characters in a story. The whole story is storyless. I'll give you a very powerful difference in one service of Hashem. One who appreciates the lower level of perception, the lower level of unity, never gets depressed. But he utters a sigh. He krechtzes. One who experiences the higher level of unity never utters a sigh either. You see the difference. In the lower level of unity, there's no reason to be depressed, but there's certainly pain. Part of the story is a lot of pain. There's pain. But when you experience the higher level of unity, Hashem's intimacy, that is reality, and that's the only presence that exists. So wherever you are, whatever your moment, there's no sigh. You know that the Alter Rebbe, his wife once said that her husband never sighed. Alter Rebbe never sighed, besides a few moments before he passed away. The first time he sighed, and he was very upset with himself, and he said that, I don't have any control anymore. But it's a whole different identity. The Alter Rebbe had a chassid, his name was Reb Isaac Hameler, one of his greatest chassidim, Reb Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Epstein. I mentioned him a few weeks ago. And the Alter Rebbe once blessed him with long life, Arichis Yama. Long life. So he said, Rebbe, with one condition, it should be B'deya Tzlula. I should have a clear mind, a transparent mind. You know, I don't want to become senile. He didn't say that. He said, it should be B'deya Tzlula, with a clear mind. The Alter Rebbe said, Ya, the Vesvas meant B'deya Tzlula. As das elyon, der herzich in das tachten. You know what it means to have a transparent das? That the lower level of unity experiences the higher level of unity, which is called in Chassidus das tachtein, the lower perception experience. That's what it means. Your mind is transparent. That the lower level of awareness should experience the higher level. That's what it means. You should die with a day at Tzlula. It's a whole other. I just want to finish one more line, and we'll stop. We'll finish. It's just he finishes the last vart here. Yeah. In Yirei Tata, there's a clock, but in Yirei La, there's no clock anymore. And no calendar as well, yeah. So the Alter Rebbe concludes, "Ach I efshar lahasig liyira v'chachmazu ela b'kiyim atayda v'amitzvus." But one cannot attain this level of awe and wisdom, this level of awe and wisdom, only by means of the fulfillment of Torah and mitzvus, which is ayidei yira tata achitzaynus. Which Torah and mitzvahs can be achieved in their real sense only first through the external lower fear. V'zeu shamru, thus they said, our sages said, imein yirein chachma. If there's no yira, the lower fear, there's no chachma. What is Dr. Rebbe adding here? Can we ever view the world inside out? Can we ever view the world inside out? But we experience our identity. Everything that I said before, let's be honest, is counterintuitive. Intuitively, I exist and you exist and our egos are very powerful. We don't see the nihilot. To experience the nothingness of the universe and thus how it came into being. And when you experience how it came into being, you appreciate what's before it, what's above it, what transcends it. Not to be confused with Malafon and Malachir in the Mishnah Chagiga. I didn't mean that. The Alter Rebbe says, "Imein chachma ein yira." You have to have Torah mitzvahs. What's Torah mitzvahs? As we recall from chapter 23, Torah mitzvahs is the only thing exists in this world that was not affected by all of the concealments and the veils and the cloaks that allowed our world to emerge as something. For our world to emerge as a something, Hashem had to veil His intimacy, veil His energy, veil His word and so on and so forth. Torah and mitzvahs is an expression of Hashem's intimate self. Torah and mitzvahs is la'olam ye'yadam arum b'yira. So to speak, Torah and mitzvahs is Hashem ripping off all His shirts and saying, here I am. Torah is Hashem's essence, a mitzvah is Hashem's inner essence, Hashem's intimacy. So when a yid lives with Torah, when a yid lives with mitzvahs, he now experiences the ayin that transcends the universes. Once he experiences the nothingness that transcends the worlds, I'm calling it nothingness, because relative to the world, we define it as nothingness. It's ultimate somethingness. So now he can come appreciate pnimius alakos. That's what Torah mitzvahs are. Torah mitzvahs are a glimpse, are a taste of real reality, of pnimius alakos. And thus he can come to Yira. But to have real Torah mitzvahs, you first have to have the lower level of awe, as explained in the previous weeks, and then you have chachma, and then you can have the higher level of Yira. I'll finish with a story. First of all, you know, the Baal Shem Tov, one of the Baal Shem Tov students, I think it was also the Toldos Yaakov. The Toldos Yaakov Yosef I mentioned is Rabbi Yaakov Yosef of Pulna. Yeah. And his work is very significant because the Baal Shem Tov never wrote anything. The first Hasidic text that was ever printed was the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. It was printed 17 years before the Tanya in Tovkuf Mem in Karetz, which means in 1880. Toldos Yaakov Yosef, he was a direct pupil and student of the Baal Shem Tov. So he wrote a lot of things that he simply personally heard from the Baal Shem Tov himself. So there's a treasure of wisdom of the Baal Shem Tov and Toldos Yaakov Yosef. But when you read the idea of, for example, Arum B'Yiru, he doesn't say, he just says, you have to appreciate Hashem without Levushim. But here now, in this time, the Alter Rebbe here in Tanya literally crystallizes, it's crystal clear what the Baal Shem Tov meant. It's a different type of year. So one of his students once testified, he says, the Baal Shem Tov once turned to his body. He turned to his body. And he said, Ich wunde sich auf dir. Was du zu breckelst dich nicht. I don't understand you, body, that you don't just melt away and crumble away in the presence of Hashem. I just don't understand you. This is a different type of year. This is a year where I can't understand my existence. I can't justify my feeling myself. Where do I come to feel myself? That frustration, that humbleness is a different time. He's ashamed with his very existence. To be ashamed with your very existence, that's another level of year. Not ashamed with what you're doing or just reduced somewhat. The very existence is shameful for you. That, he says, you're abortious. It's interesting. The Zohar and Tikkuni Zohar has 70 interpretations on the word Bereishis. And one of them is Bereishis, you're abortious. Bereishis. And it mamish fits into what it says in Tanya. Ezel chachma royes hanoilid. When you see the Bereishis of everything, when you see the beginning of everything, so automatically does you're abortious. But you have to see the beginning. You have to see how it was born. When you see how it was born, you see its nothingness. When you see its nothingness, you're also nothing. It works both ways. You see its nothingness, and therefore you become nothing. You come to observe pnimius alakos. Now, there's a story. I read this story. I didn't see. Most stories I repeat about the Alter Rebbe are in Chabad sources, which are usually very reliable because most of the stories were given over either Rebbe to Rebbe till the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe who transcribed them, or from other sources, but usually they all recorded from whom they heard it, so you get it mamish all the way to the generation of the Alter Rebbe. This story I saw in another source. It's quite a story. The Alter Rebbe once visited Reb Leib Saris. Reb Leib Saris was a great master of his time, a great tzaddik. He visited, I believe, the Baal Shem Tov and the Maggid. He was an extraordinary holy man. Some even want to say that Reb Leib Saris and the Shpolo Zayde were the same person. But in any case, he once visited Reb Leib Saris. Reb Leib was sitting on his chair with a chumash, and they were talking. It happened to be Parshas Akif. We said a story from Parshas Re'eh, so this is a week before Parshas Akif. When the Alter Rebbe left, they saw Reb Leib Saris. He fell down with his chair, and he was on the ground, and the Chumash was open to the Pasuk, Lo yal alechem levade yichya adam, ki al kol meitzefi Hashem yichya adam. Man cannot live exclusively on bread. Man lives on the utterance of Hashem's mouth. That's what man lives on. So Reb Leib said like this, Loyal alechem levada yichyad, as a mensch zol kenen leben on lechem versteich. That a person should be able to live without bread, I can understand. But ki al kol meitzepi avaya yichyad, but that a person should emit from his mouth the name of Hashem and she should remain alive, das ken ich nicht verstehen. So instead of interpreting literally, we learn, not only on the bread that you will survive, you survive on the utterance of Hashem. He said, the fact that you shouldn't survive alone on bread, that there should be such a person, that I could comprehend. But that you should utter out Hashem's name and you should remain alive, that he can't comprehend. And he continued to be in this transcendental state of ecstasy. Again, an expression of this concept of Yirei Eloh with a whole eye has no identity, cannot find any space for itself. Have a good night and a wonderful week.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.